570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Okay, we continue. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet on AM570LASports. Later this hour, we'll talk some Lakers about what happened last night. We touched on that in hour one. I think the Lakers are still green in the panic meter. I think all is well. I think there's not one reason to be concerned. I understand Denver's good. I understand Denver's feisty. But I think if the Lakers rebound and don't get out-rebounded 2-1, it would have been a very different story last night. We'll get more into that. Now for spirituality and cleansing and a clear view of things. Yeah, we do. We welcome on Vic the Brick with the Daily Haiku. Vic, good afternoon. Vic.
Good afternoon, Fred. Good afternoon, Rodney.
That was way too long, Rodney.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not. Did you have no faith that Vic was coming on?
You know, it could be 50-50 on any given day.
Fred, you have to relax.
Okay.
Yes, Freddy.
Okay. There.
You have to get empty and stay tranquil.
I'm going to empty myself, Vic.
There you go. Now you're talking.
Okay. I'm going to cleanse.
And before we get to the haiku, are you like me?
No.
Are you like me?
No.
I'm watching that Laker travesty of a game last night. How soft is Kuzma? We all love Kuzma. But when Murray jammed in his face, and he did not get up to contest that jam, I said, are you that soft? And is that the message that you want to convey, that this is a finesse team that refuses to get up on Murray and bang him when he's up there? That was embarrassing, what the Nuggets did for the first three quarters until the Lakers woke up. I mean, they're going to win the series, but these flashes of passivity.
I don't know, Vic. You got to pick your battles. That was they parted like the Red Sea in that one, and Murray had the dunk. There was no chance to even contest that. All he would have been doing is providing a poster for Jamal Murray.
That's fine.
No, it's not.
You get up with Murray. You don't let Murray.
He was late. He was late. You can say that.
Dominate the rim. You've got to have a message.
He was late coming over.
Anthony Davis was MIA. I mean, it's the biggest shot of his life. Now he's MIA. He gets two rebounds. I mean, come on. And they're going to win this deal. Listen, Laker fans, you know how I feel. You know how I feel. But I call out weakness when I see it. And I call out when you have an Achilles heel. And this team can't go for they don't go for the jugular. They'll take care of business. But that was a jugular game. That was a jugular game when you go for the Nuggets jugular.
You know,
I got to give them credit. You know, they're a bamboo. I call them bamboo Nuggets. But on that play, that was the essence of the 48 minutes last night. I call it 48 minutes from hardball hell or hardwood hell for the Lakers last night. It hurt me.
Vic, the Lakers have had a wake-up call in each of the series they've played. They had one against Houston. They had one against Portland. So I look at it like this. Last night was their wake-up call.
Okay. That's fine. I'll go along with that, but I will not accept non-contesting at the rim when you have to be physical. Why do you think Dwight Howard's in there? You know, when Dwight's on Jokic, he's irritating him. He's physical with him.
You got six fouls to give, huh?
You got six fouls to give. Give him. And Kuzma, give the foul. Get up with him. Get up with Murray. You can't let Murray just dunk on you. And that gives the whole Nugget team confidence. Like, okay, they're not going to get up with us. We're going to continue jamming. And our Morris brother's going to come. He's going to come and play and ball. I mean, the Lakers are giving life to a new Morris brother. I thought there was only two, Marcus and Markeith. Now the Nuggets have one.
He can play.
They're multiplying.
They are multiplying. Anyway, I had to get that off my chest.
Glad you did, Vic.
I mean, I will not accept passive play in a playoff game. I just won't. This haiku is from Basho.
All right.
Oh, one of the greats.
One of the great four, if not the greatest of the great four. Basho Busan Isashiki. It's an autumnal haiku for you on this Wednesday, September the 23rd. Autumn moonlight. A worm digs silently into the chestnut. I'm feeling you. Basho.
Solid today, Rodney.
Solid.
Right?
Thank you.
Worm had business with the chestnut.
Silently. Yes.
Silently. In the light of the autumn moon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it is autumn, Fred.
Right. And it's a different moon in autumn, which causes
you
the
say
worms.
Autumn or fall?
He said autumn, no?
Autumn moonlight. Yeah. Autumn moonlight.
Do you say autumn or do you say fall?
I go autumn. I like the autumnal flavor.
He's like the autumnal flavor. That's
what
he
about you, Fred? You like fall or autumn?
I'd go fall. But I'm going with Vic today.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's interesting. That's when worms get busy. In the autumn
exactly.
moonlight. They prey on the chestnut. And they get what they want. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys chestnut fans? You guys like chestnuts?
Oh, my God, Vic.
It's lit. Stories what? Lighting up the sports headlines.
You don't like chestnuts roasting by the open fire, Fred?
We are not going into the merit of the chestnut, Rodney. We're just not going to do it. I mean, we have important things to talk about. Do we, Kevin, have important things to talk about? Yeah, okay, good.
We do.
And those important things will be brought to you by Jacob and Ronnie, 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie, call Jacob.
We talked a little bit about Tyrod Taylor and the unfortunate punctured lung that he suffered while getting a shot on Sunday. Anthony Lynn spoke with the media a few minutes ago and confirmed that he is currently week to week and expect Justin Herbert to be the starting quarterback for the foreseeable future. At the very least, he's going to start this coming Sunday.
Man, that's tough. That's tough for Tyrod Taylor. That's tough for that doc. I mean, we just talked about it a few minutes ago. But, I don't know who feels worse. Tyrod Taylor or the doctor? And if you're the Chargers, what do you do?
Oh, well, you asked that, Fred. Lynn did reiterate what he said on Sunday. He said it again today. He said, Tyrod Taylor is, quote, 100% our guy.
Okay, well, there you are. When Tyrod Taylor is healthy, he's back, Rodney.
Yeah, and I think that's the way it should be until he proves otherwise. You know, and obviously time will tell. If it becomes an extended period of time that he's out, then you got to reevaluate. But for now, you know, when he's healthy, he should be the guy. It's just unfortunate because he was going into the game ready to play and by no fault of his own, he was not allowed to play, and it's a real unfortunate situation, man. It's very, very delicate when you're talking about someone's career, and think about this: if he's not able to play, I mean, I don't even want to get into all the grievances that they have about what he could claim, you know, lost opportunities. And maybe they have to say that because if he is not the starter, he could point to the doctor is why he's not the starter for this team, which goes into incentives, which goes into contract, which goes in. There's a plethora of things that are bad with this situation. So, all in all, hopefully he gets better soon and it's not that serious that he can return to the lineup as soon as possible.
I am so simpatico for Tyrod and the doctor. This is such a freaky, freaky accident. And it's unprecedented. Rodney, in your 16 years in the NFL, have you ever heard of a doctor puncturing a lung while administering a painkiller?
No, I've not heard that. I've not heard that before when it comes to lung. And I myself have had, you know, rib injuries where I've needed, you know, a shot. And so I've not heard that. You know, I talked about different doctors that you prefer because they get it right the first time.
Right.
But not ones that have actually punctured a lung. I've not heard that before.
Well, luckily, Tyrod seems to be, you know, on the healing arc. And so we pray for Tyrod Taylor and we pray for the doctor, because this is when I heard this, I was stunned, I was shocked. But you know, let's face it, it's such a fragile state of administering a shot. Unfortunately, you know, we've all had shots administered to us, and if you're a fraction off or a millimeter off, bad things happen. So pray for Tyrod, and I pray for the doctor.
Tough news out of the NFL world. One of the all-time greats, Gale Sayers, passed away at the age of 77. I was not old enough to see him play, but I'm sure you gentlemen were able to see. I see highlights, obviously. Were able to see and be able to watch him perform. They say he was one of the most electrifying players in the NFL during his day.
No question about it. I did see him play. And back when he was playing, in the Bears, you know, I think he exemplified, Rodney, the way the Bears were back in the day. The monsters of the Midway. These guys were really physical, really tough. Gale Sayers, I think, embodied that when he carried the ball and the way he carried himself. And he was a young man. He was 77 years old. If you saw him play, you're very fortunate. Rodney, you said it earlier. And if you've never seen Gale Sayers play, go to YouTube and watch him. You'll appreciate how good he was.
Yeah, no doubt. He was Walter Payton before Walter Payton. Gale, he was Barry Sanders before Barry Sanders. He was Gale Sayers on offense, Fred, as you mentioned, and Dick Butkus on defense. Those Bears teams, the guy was great. Ryan Song, still one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yes.
Dealing with Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo. Really great, greatly portrayed by Billy Dee Williams and James Caan in that movie. But Brian Song, all-time great favorite movie. But just a great person, too. I had a chance to meet him on several occasions, spend time with him. Just a great guy. One of those guys that got hit by injuries and his career was cut short. But in the short period of time that he played, he was magnificent.
I was so blown away by Gale Sayers when I was a kid. I thought Jim Brown was the most powerful runner of all time. Gale Sayers was the greatest halfback. I called Jim Brown a fullback back in the day. He ran, I believe, out of the fullback slot. But Gale Sayers was a halfback. And he was the greatest of all time. He was the greatest running back of all time. I'll go on record. Because he played for some lousy Bears team, so teams were stacked up just to stop Sayers. And Sayers, his moves were so magnificent, and his cuts were so precise. He was so unbelievable. You can't compare any running back to Sayers. I must say, the greatest of all time, Gale Sayers. I mean, the modern day running backs are fabulous, but none can hold the light to Gale Sayers. And at Kansas, when he, you know, his college days.
The Comet.
Just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Unfortunately, career cut short by, you know, savage knee injury, which if he had suffered that knee injury 10 years later, he would have had a long career. But instead, I believe his career was maybe 6-7 years in the NFL. I'm not sure. But it was a short career, cut short by, you know, that savage knee injury. But he was the greatest of all time, Gale Sayers, from the halfback position. There will never be another Gale Sayers.
Another tough loss, this time in the sports entertainment industry. Joe Laurinaitis is his name, and if you are a professional wrestling fan from back in the day like I was, you knew him as Road Warrior Animal, as one half of the Legion of Doom, also known as the Road Warriors. He also passed away only at the age of 60. No cause of death was announced for him. And he was the surviving member of the Road Warriors. Road Warrior Hawk passed away in 2003.
Kevin, our Channel 4 cameraman, Alex Vasquez. is in communication with a lot of guys that were wrestlers.
Okay.
And he texted me. And he said, I think the night before he was out celebrating his anniversary with his wife.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
60 years old.
No.
Yeah, we don't know the cause, but we do know this. Working in professional wrestling is a tough living. It's a tough way to make a living. A lot of travel, physically very demanding. And as you said, if you were a fan of wrestling in that era, you knew the Road Warriors. So condolences to his wife.
Yeah, and he definitely knew the Road Warriors. You know, it's interesting because we're seeing, you know, a lot of former athletes from all variety of different sports and, you know, that get around that age of 60, around 60, 70, because a lot of things were not regulated back then in sports. And so it was perform at all costs, and a lot of things that you did to your body were not the greatest of things. And Vic, you alluded to this. You had Gale Sayers been playing in this era, there'd have been a doctor to fix him up. He might have, he would have played for another 10 years. But back then, you know, technology wasn't there, medicine wasn't there. And the only way to get guys back on the field a lot of times was to give them some stuff that wasn't healthy for them long term. So we're seeing that, and it's wrestling was one of the most brutal type of sports when it comes to all of those things, especially for those older guys. So, you know, R.I.P. Road is one of my favorite. I loved when they came out.
Yeah, the Road Warriors were legendary. Very sad day for the wrestling family, but the collateral damage, you know, from all the drugs and the injections. You can pay the price later. Unfortunately, it's the price you pay for the, you know, for the in the moment glory.
Yeah.
In the moment, dinero. To get your tuckers out there in the ring, which is so difficult. It's such a difficult sport, wrestling. It's choreography. It's physical. It's mental. It's. You know, you got to be a showman, a showwoman. I mean, you've got to, you know, encompass so many different skills to be a professional wrestler. You know, people put it down, you know, back in the day, you know, as circus freaks. No, these are amazing athletes, and the Road Warriors were the top of the game. So our hearts go out. It's tough. But you know, those medical techniques. Very unsophisticated, you know, back in the day. But you know, you want to get the performers out on the ring. You know, the TV contracts are there. The fans have paid their money. There's a lot of pressure to go out there and perform.
So we talked about the Dodgers clinching their eighth straight NL West title. Should they, or we'll just say when they get out of the first round and make it down into the bubble in Texas? Commissioner Rob Manfred says the league is pressing ahead with having plans of having fans in attendance for the NLCS and the World Series once those times do arrive. He told that in an interview to USA Today. So it looks like for the NLCS and the World Series down in Texas, somehow, some way, they will allow fans in.
Because they're allowed in.
Yep.
I mean, that's one of the areas where you can have a certain number of fans in the stadium. Nobody's getting close to the players. I can assure you of that. And the way they do baseball, maybe they'll still have the cutouts and some fans. Because really, when you see it on TV just optically, and you don't see the stands full, but you see a percentage of the stands full, I think it looks pretty stupid, quite frankly. I don't think it looks good at all. Everybody or nobody. Just a smattering of people in a 60,000-seat arena doesn't look good. It looks like nobody showed up. But this team is really bad. And I loved when Kansas City played that opening night. People tweeted out, my God, it sounded like the stadium was full. No, it didn't. It did not sound like the stadium is full. But, you know, baseball, if they're going to let fans in, that's in a neutral site. What is that telling you? We'll take that money. We're happy to take your money. You want to spend it? We're happy to take it, Rodney.
If you were invited, Fred, would you go?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting that they are going to allow it. Obviously, Texas and Florida are places where, you know, they're allowing people in. But how is that going to work? So Dodger fans get to go to Texas and go be in the games. How are they going to select that? I mean, it's going to be real interesting how they do that in terms of allowing fans and how many get to go.
To your point, and that's a great point. I don't really think if it's the Dodgers and Oakland, people in Arlington, Texas are going to go, man, I got to go to the World Series. I can't wait to see that. So what they'll probably do is divvy up the tickets to both teams. And then those teams can offer those tickets, I'm guessing, to their fans. And, you know, if you're a Dodger fan and you want to go, you can buy the tickets and you're on your own, you go to the World Series. The difference is all of the games will be there. Every game will be in one place. So you'll spend a week and a half in Arlington.
Let's go. Talk to Don Martin.
Well, shouldn't we talk to somebody that'll say yes? Because we know he won't.
Vic, you make the ask.
Tell him
me. The show's from Arlington.
If you're a Dodger fan and you have the opportunity to watch them win their first World Series since 1988, you're going to make the pilgrimage to Arlington, Texas. You're going to make that pilgrimage. This is a very rare time. The Dodgers have an insanely talented ball club. And yes, it's Arlington, Texas. It's not Dodger Stadium. It's not the jewel. Chavez Ravine is the jewel of all ballparks. But if the World Series played in Arlington, and there's an opportunity for Dodger fans, you know, to watch the beloved Dodgers win a World Series, of course you're going to take that opportunity. How they divvy out the tickets is going to be fascinating.
And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports. Laker fans, orange is concerned and red is severe concern. Where do you have the Lakers after last night's game on the panic meter? We'll open the phone lines, 866-987-257.
Once again,
well, we can cross that off the list.
The best in the West.
The LA Dodgers have...
I'm back with your girl.
7 days a week. Stallion.
Yeah. Make that pull out Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, Fred.
Right,
Megan Thee Stallion,
right.
As you mentioned. Time Magazine. 100 most influential people.
Can you argue that?
No, cannot.
Mm-mm.
Worldwide.
I've said it once and I'll say it again. It's wet. Catch a replay of the exclusive interview with Vin Scully tonight at 6:10 during Dodgers pregame with Tim Cates. It's before the Dodgers take on the Oakland A's. Presented by your Mercedes-Benz dealers of Southern California. Okay, Laker fans. So you saw what happened last night. Bottom line is, when you're out rebound 2-1, you're not going to win the game. And they didn't win the game. So Denver still has life now. On the panic meter, green being all good, no problems. Orange being concern, moderate. And red being severe panic. I still have the Lakers in green on the panic meter. All good, no problem. Just a little speed
No
bump.
Problem.
No problem. Just a wake-up call last night. What do you think? We haven't heard from anybody during the playoffs. So at this point in time, Laker fans, what do you think? 866-987-2570. David in Rancho Cucamonga. What are you thinking?
Hey, what's up, Fred? What's up, Ronnie? How you guys doing?
Good. Good. What's on your mind, man? What are you thinking?
Listen, man. It's green. It's good to go. It's been green since, in my opinion, since the beginning of the season. I mean, the Lakers know who they are. When they put this team together, they already knew their identity. They were going to play defensive basketball. And listen, when they opened up the series with Portland, you know, their shooting wasn't doing well. But, you know, the easiest thing to do in basketball is shoot. They had the open looks, but the shots weren't falling. Against Houston, the first game, they got out-rebounded, but they made the adjustments. And I think that's what's going to happen, you know, come game four. The coaching staff, Frank Vogel and his staff, has been amazing with making adjustments. And I don't see it being an issue. And, you know, I kind of got a little upset when I heard Kevin talking about, you know, the Nuggets could be up 2-1. I mean, think about it. Anthony Davis misses that shot in game two. I think they come out with fire in game three. So, I don't buy that the Nuggets could be up 2-1. So the Lakers are green. Lakers in five. Lakers going to win it all this year.
David, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. See there? There's a difference. When my glass is half full and somebody else's is half empty, people don't like it. They don't like it one bit. Aquil in Carson. You're on AM570 LA Sports. What's going on?
Yes, yes. I don't know what planet that last caller was on, but, you know, to say, you know, the Lakers not at a orange right now, you're delusional. They could have easily lost that last game. Before this one, it could have been 2-1. And to say that, you know, they still it. The Denver Nuggets is really a good team, and I think the world is really waking up to see that. So I think if we're at an orange, and we've got a lot to play.
All right, Aquil, thanks. We were losing a signal, Rodney. Yeah.
Aquil working on his car?
I don't know what he was doing, but I know this.
But I see, I get where you are, Fred, in your glass full day today, which is a rarity for you because you're usually an empty guy. But haven't we seen enough of the Denver Nuggets to not count them out, not disrespect them the way you're disrespecting them, Fred?
How am I disrespecting them? I'm just saying
you're not Lakers giving them a chance. You're not giving them a hope.
I'm saying the Lakers are better. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I think Denver they're better too. Be respected.
It's not necessarily who's better. The Clippers were better. Clippers were better than the Nuggets, no doubt.
Clippers gagged.
But when it came down to game day and playing the game, the Nuggets played better. So I'm not counting the Nuggets out. Do I still think the Lakers win? Yeah. But, yeah, this is not going to be any kind of cakewalk, Fred, like you're thinking it's going to be.
Well, let's find out what Rick thinks. Rick and Simi, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Thanks for holding. What do you think, red, orange, or green?
I got to say orange plus. Denver is a hot team right now. They came back from a 3-1 deficit to the wonderful L.A. Lake, L.A., the other L.A. team. They're a hot team. I'm going to make it orange plus.
Orange plus, okay, trending toward red. Rick, thanks
hot
for the
hot team,
call.
Fred. Hot team. That's the key word, hot team.
No, I
Nationals.
Hear you.
Nationals, baseball last year. Hot team.
No, I understand.
Anything can happen, Freddie.
All right, let's just go to Isabel in Anaheim. Isabel, thanks for holding. You're on AM570 LA Sports. Where do you put them in the panic meter? Red, orange, or green?
No, green. You guys, it won't be serious if they don't lose. So, and I really think the Lakers are on a mission, for, you know, because Kobe, you know, passed away and all this. So I still think the Lakers, it may go six. I think it'll probably go 6 or 7. Denver is a good team, though. I do agree with that. So, but they'll be fine, Fred. Don't worry. So
no, I'm good. Thanks, Isabel. No, I'm fine.
Yeah, Fred, don't worry.
No, but I'll tell you what. If it goes 7, then I'm going to worry.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. If this thing goes 7 games, are you worried then? If it's a 7th game?
If it goes to a game 7?
Yes.
They're in orange. I'll tell you that right now. No, if it goes to game 7, they're in red. If this thing goes 7 games,
You don't want it to go 7. You don't want to be in a game 7 with Denver.
I can barely think about going 6 at this point. I mean, that's why tomorrow the Lakers have to come out and they need to have that intensity as Denver did or match that intensity from the opening tip. Let's go Robert in Long Beach. Go ahead, Robert. What do you think? Red, orange, or green?
Well, I'm in the orange category. Not so much because Denver played so well, but more about how the Lakers played. I saw a lot of bricks being thrown up. I mean, LeBron literally dented that rim on a couple of his shots. I saw a couple of air balls. AD almost broke the glass on 2 or 3 shots. So it told me that they were a little bit tight. So I'm a little concerned. You know, I know what Denver can do. They're playing loose and free. And obviously, Joker and Jamal Murray are two great players. So let's not give them a chance. We got to win big and kind of knock down their confidence a bit.
Appreciate the call, Robert. Yeah. Thanks.
And even in, you know, what things concerns me, Fred, is even in the win in game 2, especially in game 3, the turnovers for the Lakers was a big thing. You mentioned the, you know, rebounds, but the turnovers for the Lakers have been a problem in the last couple of games, and they got to clean that up.
Okay, let's go. Kenny in Burbank, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Where do you have them? Red, orange, or green?
it's red. If Caruso keeps guarding Murray, Caruso can't guard a parking lot at this point. They need to switch that matchup, find somebody else, because the guy is like, he's not Spanish, but he's a matador. He's just getting blown by all the time, getting blown by. Meanwhile, garbage can Pope, the guy is throwing up enough bricks to make a 32-story building. Okay, he's got to stop shooting. I know that's what they paid him to do, but he's just got to find something different. Whether it's just like stand in a corner and just create space or something or whatever, that's what he's got to do. But the whole fact is, when you let Jeremy Grant score 26 points on you, and then, you know, Jamal Murray's making shots from 43 feet in front of Crapuso's face, got to do some matchup switches. Thanks very much.
Bye. Hey, Kenny, are you still there? Kenny, still there? No, he hung up. I just wanted to know if he prepared that material.
Crapuzzo.
I wanted to know if he had worked on that.
He's not still there, because I'm not going to sit here and let him talk about Caruso like that. That's my man. He's been balling. Now, they can't give it a steady diet of him handling Jamal Murray, which is why they switch it up from time to time. You'll see LeBron on Jamal Murray. You'll see different guys on him. But no, not a steady diet. But Caruso didn't shoot the ball well in game three, but his defense and his scrappiness, what he's been doing, I think has helped the Lakers, which is why you're seeing, you know, him getting more playing time. But I don't got him in the red like that. I think it's they got to take care of the basketball for me more than what they've done in the last two games.
Well, Randy in Riverside has him in the green, right, Randy?
I sure do, Fred. Ronnie, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Look, the Lakers have always gotten better after they lose a game. So they lost the game. This roster that the Lakers have, it's not a roster that can beat anybody four games. So why is everybody getting excited? You know, every loss, they lost the first game in Houston. They lost the first game in Portland. And then they worked it out. This is a good Denver team. This roster is not a beat four people a roster. They're not going to beat anybody four games. I don't care who they play.
All right. That's why you've got them in green. That's why I've got them in green. Hector and Hacienda Heights, you've got them in green too, right?
Yes, sir. Look. First off, a couple callers alluded to it. Grant is not going to score 25-26. I think it was Morris off the bench. He also was 20 points. That's not going to happen. And plus, the Lakers are going to start from the onset with their defensive intensity. And also, you're a jinx, brother. You're bad luck. You messed up the Clippers and the Lakers matchup that was supposed to happen, because after game one, you guys started talking all this mess. And Fred, so I need you just to take a deep breath. Okay, when the Lakers win tomorrow, don't start talking about the NBA championship. Just keep that down. It's your bad luck, Chuck.
Bad luck, Chuck. I called you Charles Barkley.
Thank you, Hector.
Fred, he said when they're up 3-1, don't say a word, Fred. Don't talk about championship. Don't talk about the finals or anything. Matchups with Boston or Miami. Don't say anything, Fred, is what he said.
Now, I understand. But you can't get mad at me for calling him like I see him, right? You can't do that. I'm sorry the Clippers didn't get there. That's on the Clippers. That's really on the Clippers. They should have been there. That's their fault. Losing a 3-1 lead, that's their fault.
But you jinxed them, Fred.
You know what? Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Well, who better to wrap this up with than Mitch? Mitch, where do you have him?
What's popping, guys? Orange and heading towards red. I think they got what they want. They beat the best team in the league. They're very confident. They were lucky to win the game, too. They got a better bench, and LeBron can only carry them so far.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate that. That's what's popping. Okay. Well, I'll tell you one thing I'm not going to do.
What? What you not going to do, Fred?
After Hector yelled at me, I'm not predicting.
Don't predict.
I'm not predicting anything about tomorrow. I still think the Lakers will win. Petros and Money getting ready to go.